Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
We'll get to the Jets and the contract extension for Sauce Gardner, which I can't imagine. I know there are Jet fans out there who are disappointed by this or think the timing's poor or that last year's season did not warrant him getting this contract. I think you're missing the point. I really do. I think you're missing the point. We'll get to that later, though. Sauce Gardner is one of the better cornerbacks in the league, and he's important to the Jets. And I think we also got to talk about Joe Douglas, too. And while I saw Connor Hughes tweet this out, and he's 100% right, Douglas couldn't get the quarterback right, couldn't get the coach right. But you look at that draft class. I mean, a lot of, and it's not easy. I know they were top picks, but you got Wilson, you got Sauce, you got Jermaine Johnson, you got Breece Hall. That's one hell of a draft. And the Jets are eliminating any questions, eliminating any drama, and going about building a culture and trying to win and taking care of their best players, which goes a long way inside that room. I think this is a very good start as we get ready for camp in a week or so for this Jet team. 888, we'll get to that in a little bit, though. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls off the All-Star game, off the Yankees. Again, I'm going to get Big Zoo. We're going to play a little bit of Derek Jeter. We'll get that ready for you in a little bit because I want to listen to Derek Jeter and see if he can catch anything that I find a little interesting. But obviously, we got the rest of the baseball season, the home run element of the All-Star game and the All-Star game, and Aaron Boone's decision making in the All-Star game. Amazing, I love it. And I thought I wasn't going to have any Yankee talk, and here we are. I'm fighting with people about Aaron Boone. And we can talk about Anthony Volpe. And again, I want to just specify my Anthony Volpe point because people don't seem to get it. I am not telling you that Anthony Volpe has been anything other than terrible for more than a month. Like, he has been awful. I am not supporting his play right now. I'm not defending his play right now. I'm not telling you Anthony Volpe's great. I started the year saying the same thing I'm saying now. If this is what Anthony Volpe is the rest of the year, he cannot be the shortstop next year. I don't think they have a better option. I don't think they're going to move him off shortstop right now. Listen, if he hits 100 for the entire rest of the season, which I don't expect, but if it's that bad, then they'll be forced to do something. They'll play Peraza because at least he'll get better defense. I don't know, but he's their shortstop. They're going to give him a chance. He had pretty much the same offensive season last year, and they went to the World Series with him. And again, he performed. That's the only thing I'm saying. I'm saying you can still talk about Anthony Volpe and bring up some, and there aren't a ton, I'll be honest, of course, but you can still bring up some of the positives. Like the idea that he's just an awful defender, and he, like, because the caller yesterday was like, he needs to go down to the minors and learn how to play defense. No, he doesn't. He won a gold glove. He knows how to play defense. He's in his head. I don't think it's fundamentals. I don't think it's lack of reps. I don't think it's not understanding how to play the position. I think he's completely screwed up. I think right now it's hard for him to put one foot in front of the other. He's so messed up. Now, you could argue he needs to go to the minor leagues to get unmessed up. Okay, we could have that discussion. He doesn't need to go down and learn how to play baseball. He doesn't. So all I'm saying is he's a better defender than this, and we know because he's won a gold glove. He can be a better offensive player than this because he was for the first 70 games, and he was in the pressure-packed moments of the postseason. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's good now. I'm not saying don't worry, he'll be fine. I'm not saying he's a great player going through a bad stretch. He has not been a good offensive player for 99% of his career. He's been a good defensive player for almost all of his career up until this season and up until the last few months in particular. But I also want to believe in him and try and root for him. And I feel like there's no room for that inside Yankee fans right now. There is no room for a little bit of belief that the kid can get back to being the player he was in the postseason last year and what he was for the first 60 to 70 games of this year, which is good enough. Not a superstar, not an all-star, but a 750 OPS with his defense, or what he's capable of playing defense, is a good player for the New York Yankees. I still want to believe and still have hope that he can be that guy. And saying that somehow is blasphemy. It's somehow there's no room in the hearts of Yankee fans at all left for this kid. We have to hate him, despise him. He sucks. Get him off my team. And you know what I think? I think we're less mad at Anthony Volpe than we are at Brian Cashman. And it's another way to scream and yell and get angry. And instead of just screaming about Anthony and screaming about Brian Cashman, we can direct it at Volpe. But he's not been good, and he has to be better. And if he's not better, if he's this bad for the rest of the year, they'll have to do something. And if he's this bad for the rest of the year, he better not be the shortstop next year, and I'll be right there screaming with you. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I watched the full game tonight, and I was actually amazed and astounded that you would take the greatest exhibition all-star game. You know, these are superstars that you're talking about. And then at the end, it's tied 6-6, and I'm like, what's going on? What's this? What are these guys doing out here swinging practice swings? And then I realized that this is the way the game is going to end. It looked like a shootout in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
It looked phony to me. I'll be honest with you. And all of the stuff that you said today, and I've been listening to you and McPherson earlier, why would you not play an extra inning or two innings? I mean, you know, that previous All-Star games.
Yeah, I would give you that. I do think they could give you at least the 10th inning before they go to this. I do. Because ultimately, I want to see the game won in a baseball game. I would love to see a walk-off win. I'd like to have that actual moment. I understand it's an exhibition, and they have to talk to their pitch. They have someone was just saying, "How come? What do you mean Aaron Boone doesn't have the same decision making he does as the New York Yankee manager?" Well, he has to literally talk to the teams about how to use their pitchers. Like, he can't just say, "Oh, listen, I need another inning out of you, big guy." Like, that's not how it works in the All-Star game. They can't just go on forever. It's an exhibition,
right,
and
right,
the season's more important. And the pitching is just, it's unsustainable to do that. So there has to be a limit. But I do think you could give them one more opportunity for a walk-off before you go to this.
C-Mac,
yeah,
listen to me. This guy, Alonso, smashes an opposite field bomb,
mm-hmm,
okay? Okay, when Gary Carter did that in the All-Star game, he won the MVP. when he drove that ball to center field.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't care what you say. Schwarber's great, but he had three practice swings, the guy throwing lollipops.
Yeah,
the other guy that's throwing 100 mile an hour BBs at you, and Alonso drops a bomb, and it's 5-0. I'm sorry. He's the MVP.
I don't disagree
all
with
the
you.
Way.
And Tony, thank you for the call. I think that's a fair point. I think it's a fair point that Pete should still be the MVP of the game. As excited, and you can separate them. You can both be happy with the format and the way the game ended and the excitement it created. Like, and I do think it built up drama. I do. I think it was pretty damn cool. I actually really liked it. Again, I agree that I think you could do a 10th inning and then that. But, you know, they don't want to mess with pitchers, so they go right to it. That's fine. But I don't disagree with you. Like, if Kwan doesn't hit that little ground ball that scores Witt and ties the game, Alonso's the MVP. If Kwan hits a fly ball and the game ends there, Alonso's the MVP. And I don't think, as exciting as the format is, and as fun as it was, and as great as it was, and as great as it could have been if the Stars were in it, I still can't give I have a problem giving an MVP to a guy who took three batting practice swings. I think that's fair. I really do. Pete Alonso faced a legitimate all-star pitcher who's having a great year and took it oppo for a three-run jack to break the game open. Now, they ended up tying the game, but that moment, like, to me, I agree. I think Pete Alonso has a strong case to still be the MVP over Kyle Schwarber in his three home runs. And I know, you know, again, I'm not Smoltz knows more baseball than I do. And he's how clutch it is and how hard that is to do. It isn't easy to just go up there and even in batting practice and hit three straight home runs on three straight swings. That's very impressive. It's very impressive. But it's batting practice, dude. It is batting practice. It's not the same as hitting a three-run home run off a pitcher trying to get you out. It's not the same when you can take three pitches and then, like, tell the pitcher exactly where you like it. Like they're pointing, no, a little bit down, I like it down. Like, they're putting it in your wheelhouse to hit home runs. As cool as it was, I don't disagree. I think you can obviously, I think there's still a very strong case for Pete Alonso to be the MVP. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Judas. What's happening, brother?
What's up, Judas? Well, what do I, does that make you Jesus? What I do?
No. I heard Brett call you up and start screaming that you're not Italian. And
yeah,
you're not Italian.
Forget that. Let's not even talk about that. Let's just get into what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. And I thought we were forsaken by you. But you know something, Chris? I got to ask you a question. You know, you don't fall far from the Pope, Francesca. What do you think of his review of Superman?
Yeah,
he did the same thing about you with the dog and everything like that. But a lot of other people are giving it good reviews. Will you do a Superman
yes,
review?
Yes, I will. Sure. I would love to see the movie. I have no problem doing that. And I'm open to the idea. I agreed with him on the dog, and I said that. Obviously, before Mike, I said it when I first saw the trailer. I had a real problem with the idea of a super dog. But I thought Mike, whether he's right or wrong, or I'll agree with his take on the movie after I see it, he's just tremendous, though. The video, his rant, he did a whole podcast on it. It was fantastic. It was just amazing. He's so good at it. He's so good. It was just so entertaining, and I'll see if he's right or wrong, but that's even secondary to just what an incredible review it was.
Right, well, he could rip apart any, he could tell a story about plowing his driveway, and everybody gets excited. But let's hear a couple, I see all over the internet, before I get to my judge point on the All-Star game, I agree with you. What about this story about Craigie coming back to the fan? Any thoughts on that?
I have no knowledge of any stories about Craig coming back to the fan. Unfortunately, I guess the news is that he's no longer doing the TV show at Fox, which sucks. I thought the show was really good. The Breakfast Ball. I talked to Schlereth at the Fan Fest.
They put
the
him
fan
with
fanatics.
Wrong people though.
Well,
they
listen,
put him with wrong people. He should have ran his own show. He probably didn't run his own show.
I have no idea, but what I do know is that, you know, Craig is, like Mike, incredible at what he does, and he will find somewhere else to do what he does because he is extremely entertaining.
Well, listen, what about a Craigie and Chris show?
Yeah,
man?
That'd be a great
what's wrong
idea.
With that?
Hey, listen, it's,
you know,
absolutely.
I'll tell you, listen, And I got a text from Oliveri. Stop taking gifts from the fans, man. That's going to be a downfall. You know, it's like the government.
Do you ever just want to have a sports conversation? Like, ever, man? Like, you keep calling up about this nonsense about the station and the inner workings. Just stop. Just make a point. You want to kill Aaron Judge? Let's kill Aaron Judge. Would you just stop?
And telling Lori.
Oh, my God. I can't. I just can't with this dude. Bro. I appreciate the phone call. I do. I work the overnights. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for taking your time to be a part of the show. But you don't work here, man. Right? And that's not, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying, like, stop with the inner workings of WFAN all day long. Like, every time you call me, that's it. Like, oh, I want to talk about Judge. No, you don't. You want to talk about everything else. You want to talk about nonsense. You want to try and get me in trouble. You want to try and get me on a gotcha moment. You want to, now me and Lori, like you're telling Joe, Joe Beningo, I complained about the hours of the Saturday show that I couldn't be more freaking excited that I have an opportunity to do. Like, just stop, man. You're trying to create something with me and Boomer every time you call in? Stop. It's stupid.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
It's unbelievable. Come on and take a sports talk point. You hate Judge. Me and you can battle about that. You could have good calls. You don't have to talk about this crap. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Very good job there, Chris.
Thank you.
Good job. want to make a point about the guy on second rule, but I got to say, I can't believe Bull let himself get out-managed by Davey Roberts again. George is turning over his grave. That would never happen.
That would never. If George was alive, that would have never happened.
Billy Martin would know to put out Reggie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jim Rice. That would never happen with Billy Martin, I got to tell you. And that George crying rant was one of the better things you ever did.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was great. George, you got to replay that one of these days. That goes on to the best of Big Mac.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I was just having a little
it's
bit of fun.
So spot on. It's so over the top.
Oh, we cry about George. It's obnoxious.
George.
I know.
George, people are accountable. Yeah, people are accountable. Okay, Billy Martin was really accountable. He came back 9 times.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Held Billy accountable. He fired him plenty, but he kept bringing him back.
Fired him plenty. Yeah, it was so it's tragic. It wasn't so... so funny, but it's tragic. The thing with the guy on second, I'm as old school as I mean. I love the guy on second rule. I love the strategy. And as a Mets fan, it helps the Mets because the Mets will have 2 or 3 high leverage relief pitchers. The deeper you go into the game, the more ineffective it is. You know, it's more of an advantage for the Mets, I think. You want that game over because, you know, they don't have a deep bullpen. They don't have guys to pitch in the 11th or 12th inning. They're going to be down, you know, their starters only go like 5-6 innings.
Yeah.
So I think it serves the Mets well. That, and again, I don't want to see, even if a game, I want a game to go 13 to 14 innings. I like a concise game. I like the strategy. I really do. I really get into it. I think that's one of the better moves that they've implemented.
Tommy, thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. I don't mind the games going long, so I disagree with you there. Especially if I go to the game. If I go to the game, I hope it's 19 innings. I love being at the ballpark. I have no problem with that. I mean, I don't mind the length of the game. I never did. I appreciate the pitch clock because it eliminates downtime, not because it shortens the games. I don't need the game shortened. I love long games. Like when people talk, when broadcasters particularly, you know, complain and whine about, oh, those Yankee Red Sox games, they go on for 4.5 hours. I'm like, that's the greatest thing. A Yankee Red Sox game that goes 4.5 hours is the best thing ever. What are you talking about? I know you got to be there and actually work. I'm very sorry, but it's amazing. So that doesn't bother me. But I have to admit, I am surprised. I know it's a jarring change. You're giving people bases. I know that's radical, and I could understand why the old school fan, and particularly old school fan, would hate it. But at the same time, I'm surprised there's not more guys like Tommy, more old school fans, who appreciate the brand of baseball it creates. That's my only thing. Like, a lot of old school guys talk about, you know, situational hitting, moving the runners over, sacrifice bunting, and that's what this creates. So, like, I don't know why I would think that, again, the idea of giving the guy second base is enough where I know a lot of people aren't going to like it, but I'm surprised that it's almost universally hated. I'm surprised there's not more guys like Tommy who appreciate the kind of baseball that gets played in the extra innings. Now, they don't always bunt. I understand that the road team almost hardly ever bunts, but it creates strategy. It makes you think. It creates plays at the plate more often because it leads to sacrifice flies and different things like it. It creates small ball. And all I hear is that small ball's gone from the game. What happened to the small ball? What happened to bunting? What happened to this? What happened to that? If it weren't for the extra inning rule, I'm not sure we'd ever see it again. So I would have figured that some of these old school baseball fans would have been more appreciative of the rule, and really it's almost universally just hated. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Going to get right back to your calls. Moose, Ari, hang on. Quick breaks here in the overnight. We're going to get right back to your calls. We'll get to the Derek Jeter sound. We'll get to the Jets. And we'll take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back. Before we get to the Jeter sound, let's take a couple calls here. Obviously, a lot of the All-Star game, rather. We'll get to a little bit more. Still got 2 more days. We'll get to the Jets a little bit. We'll get into what the teams need to do, the pressures of both these GMs, and where the Mets and Yankees stand heading into the second half and what they need to do to get themselves back for the Yankees to their first championship since 2009, the Mets 1986. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's good, Big Daddy C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
By the way, that Buddy Holly by Weezer is what I explain to people as to the reason why people hack me in almost everything in life, because I'm too good at what I do. I'm kind of a no-flex zone, and I kind of tell jokes to troll people when they hate on me, because I tell jokes with truth in them, and they get affected. So it's like, you know, what they say about us anyway, and hating on people's girls. But anyway, I'm not necessarily a woman hater. I just tell good jokes because they kind of contain some truth in them. But so the point of my call, let me get at it. Look up Isaiah Kiner for Leffa stats, because I'm going to get your back on the Volpe hate. Yes, I'm a Yankee boy. Yes, I'm a Yankee shill. But I have to present the point. If you look up Isaiah Kiner for Leffa stats in 2023 mm-hmm. and even in 2022, right, peep game, we didn't make the trade for Luis Castillo by giving up Volpe. You see how Luis Castillo's career has played out since that trade was proposed to us mm-hmm. by the Mariners, and Brian Cashman said no. That being said, you look at Volpe. It's not 1990 whatever. It's not 2000 whatever. If you're number 7 or number 8 hitter has a 20% chase rate, 30% walk rate, when Volpe's right, he has a 725 to 775 OPS like he was doing in the beginning part of the season. Plays decent to good to above average plus defense. This is what you're going to get for your shortstop on a contending borderline World Series contending team. Isaiah Conner-Falefa, all these people 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when he was having the yips in the playoffs and at the end of the season, couldn't hit a lick. His batting average dropped from around 280 to 230, 240. We were ready to ship him out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get Volpe up, right? And all this other stuff, right?
Right.
That being said, now they're saying we want him back and have him even fill in at short just because he's playing in a place where nobody pays attention and there's no pressure to win. So
no,
what are we supposed to do, C-Mac?
No, listen, a couple of those things are a bit unfair. To say that, you know, when Anthony Volpe is right, he's a 760 OPS. That was for 60 games this year and not much else. All right. So when we say, you have to be fair about this. And that's, like, I really feel like I'm fair. Because, like, when the hate goes too far, I push back. And that just happens to be more of the time. Not many people call up and go over the line the other way with Anthony Volpe. So, or any but Yankee for that matter. Yankee fans are so pessimistic and so angry and so pissed off that I typically have to push back to the medium because they go over the top. But when you go over the top the other way, I got to push you back too. Look, to say that when he's right, when he's right, but that's not enough. It's not nearly enough to count on, to be fair. And the IKF thing, sure, different. Wanting him back to play third base is different than shortstop. Yeah, if anybody wants him to play shortstop, forget that. I mean, but listen, Anthony Volpe's got to be better. Plain and simple. If he can be that guy for the rest of the year, then let's see how the season plays out. Here's the only difference. I still believe Anthony Volpe can recover. I don't think Anthony Volpe is this bad. I don't think this is just Anthony Volpe and we have to live with it. Like, he can be better than this. He's still a young kid at 24. It has been 3 seasons. But when we look at the first 2 seasons, he's 22 and 23. Like, he had hard times finding consistency. And right now, I feel like he's mentally broken. If he can fix it and stay consistent, Anthony Volpe can still be a good player. And I'm rooting for that, and I want to see that. And I don't think the Yankees have a better option than to just hope and wait and see for that. So let's see. I think he's capable of being at least a 750 OPS guy, which again, if you got a 750 OPS guy, he's got to pick up his batting average. And I heard Michael Kay again had Alex Rodriguez on, and Alex Rodriguez was like, well, I would trade, you know, his home runs and RBIs, which are, you know, I guess fairly decent, RBIs at least, for the shortstop position. I would trade that right now for a 280 batting average and drop the home runs down to 10. And yeah, okay, yeah, of course. Like, I don't know if Volpe can hit 280, 290. I don't know if he's that kind of player right now. I mean, we'd have to see it. But, yeah, but it's not that easy. Like, when we say that, it's not like, if Anthony Volpe just, you know, did this, he would hit 280. Well, then a lot of players would be a hell of a lot better in Major League Baseball right now. So, I mean, he's got to be better. We'll see how it goes. I'm still rooting for him. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's unfair. I'm still rooting for him. He is a far better, and this is the other thing too, he is a far better defensive player than he's played this year.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
He's shown that. He's been that. He won a gold glove, finished third last year in the gold glove voting. He's a top three defensive shortstop in the American League the last 2 years. You can say that's nonsense. You could say he doesn't deserve it. You can come up with all the crap. The Yankees didn't do it. I didn't do it. His parents didn't do it. Major League Baseball and the voters did that. We've heard Yankee bias. Like, the idea that they gave it to him because he's Anthony Volpe and he plays for the New York Yankees is nonsense. They did it because he felt that's the kind of player he was. This year, he's not anywhere near that, of course. But he can still be that guy defensively, and he can be better offensively. He can be. Will he be? I have no idea. And if he isn't, I don't know how many years you can wait for him. I'm on board. If he ends up with a 680 OPS and he's bad defensively, why you can't continue to throw him out there next year. I'm on. When you are shaping the team next year, you have to have a new shortstop. Totally on board. But I still want to give Anthony Volpe a chance here. I'm not ready to just throw out Anthony Volpe like so many people are. Ari in Kingston, what's up, Ari?
What's up, Big Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Yeah, just quick shout out to our listening scene. absolute ledge. Now, the Yankees trade deadline, I was thinking the last couple of years, like all the trades Brian Cashman made, like none of them really panned out. Freaking Montas, Jazz. Like, Jazz had a hit a lick in the World Series for Joey Gallo. Like in the trade deadline, like, we don't really get anything that's like that great. Like, they don't actually end up working out. I was thinking, like,
your line's breaking up a little bit. They don't get anything great in the postseason. They don't get players who perform in the postseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jazz was a top three third baseman in all of baseball from the minute they got him to the end of the year, defensively and offensively. He was great for them. He didn't hit in the postseason. I don't know how you, like, again, what should, how do you know who you're trading for who's going to be good in the postseason? Right, like
if you look at players that have done it.
Oh, so you got to only trade for guys who've had postseason success?
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. And one postseason success doesn't mean any other postseason success. Like, it's year to year. Like in 2018, and again, this is going to be a big time player. But Mookie Betts in 2018 was pretty good for the Red Sox. They won the World Series. 2020, he was okay for the Dodgers. Pretty good for the Dodgers. They won the World Series. Since 2020. He's been the worst postseason player in the game. He's got a lower OPS than Aaron Judge. I mean, how do you know Mookie Betts is going to be bad in the postseason? How do you know Steve Pierce is going to go win a World Series MVP? Like, you can't just exclude, well, I can't trade for him. He doesn't have good postseason numbers. Jazz Chisholm played for Miami. There are no postseason numbers.
I get it. But, like, these guys, they don't have it in them.
Well, how do you know that's not? Oh, so now, so you know that Jazz isn't going to hit in the postseason this year.
You don't know.
So who knows? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. The idea that Brian Cashman needs to be a mind reader as well as a GM, like, it's not like, like, you trade for the best players you can. That's it.
And, you know, in defense of Cashman, which as a Met fan I don't do a whole ton of, but I do respect Brian Cashman and the job he does over in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
But in defense of him, to the caller's point, I mean, what separates Tommy Edman from trading from Harrison Bader a couple years ago?
Yeah. And Harrison Bader was great for the Yankees in the postseason.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing.
They're both guys who are quote-unquote, like, not difference makers, potential role players type of guys.
Right.
Defensive players.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you go out and you get those guys and they end up performing the way they are, that's a crapshoot.
No.
I mean, trade deadline, outside of acquiring Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, top guys, Soto, Stanton, Jazz, you don't know what you're going to get.
No, and of course.
Guess what? With the way that the format is now, everybody continues to keep these guys. They need. This is just my opinion. This is off topic, but they need to push that deadline back.
Oh, absolutely. Now. Yeah, no, 100%. They need to trade it, push it back to August, without question. Late August. But, like, Harrison Bader's a perfect one. I didn't even think of that. That he called up, he never trades for guys who perform in the postseason. Harrison Bader performed in the postseason for the Yankees. He was great in the postseason in 22 for the Yankees. Should they trade for him again? I suspect you wouldn't think so. If I said, let's trade for Harrison Bader, my guess would be you don't want to do it. But yet, he performed in the postseason. Like, you can't, like, you have to trade for the best players you can. That's it. Jazz was great for them down the stretch. He didn't hit in the postseason. Edwin Encarnacion they traded for. The guy was a stud, 30 and 100 every single year. He was Nelson Cruz before Cruz was. Like, he was the prototypical 30 and 100 every year. Edwin Encarnacion, he comes to the Yankees. He performs well down the stretch. He kills the Twins in the ALDS. And then he gives you the worst bunch of at-bats I've ever seen in my life against the Astros. I don't know how that happens. And I can't kill Cashman for it. He got the most steady bat in the history of baseball, arguably. Like, not the best, but, like, the most consistent year in and year out professional at-bats. Edwin Encarnacion, he kills it in the postseason against the Twins and then just can't hit against the Astros. I don't know why. Like, again, I don't know why. And Joey Gallo and Rizzo...
Those are impact bats. I know we laugh at it now, and Gallo's becoming a pitcher now, but at the time, he was on pace with Texas to hit 40 home runs. He was a two-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner, on pace for 40 home runs, and they needed a lefty pop. That was the best they could do. Like, it didn't work out. I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that Brian Cashman made good trades. I'm just saying the idea that you got to trade for guys who have it. The idea that you think you could, from your high horse, go up into the Yankee front office and start making trades for guys who have it. Like, please, please. We have no idea who has it. When he brought in Scott Brosius, did he know he had it? When he went and got El Duque off of defecting from Cuba, did he know he had it? When he got David Justice at the 2000 trade deadline, did he know he would have it? Like, who knows? Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Like, it's easy to look back at now. I heard a caller earlier in the week go, the Yankees never make the big move. Where were they trading for Verlander when Houston was doing it? Where were they trading for Gerrit Cole when they were doing it, when they were trading for guys? Sonny Gray, in the moments of those trades, cost more prospects and was considered a better player than both of those pitchers at the time. When Sonny Gray was traded, he was the premier starting pitcher on the market. He was the ace of the A's. He was a young, controllable, very good starting pitcher. He had more success in his major league career than Gerrit Cole by a mile. And Verlander was at the end of his ropes. Nobody wanted to trade for him. He had to clear waivers. He was a waiver deal. That process doesn't even exist anymore. But we look back on it and go, why didn't Verlander and Cole, why didn't you do that, you idiot? Well, he traded for Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray was better than both of them in the moment. It didn't work out. Mike, that's just, you know, it is what it is. And there's no way to guarantee guys are going to come here and perform. There's no way to know that. There's no way to know Steve Pierce is going to be an excellent postseason player. Again, I always go back to the 21 trade deadline because I find this one fascinating. The Dodgers were the best team in the National League. They were leading their division. They were the best team in the National League. They went out and traded for Max Scherzer, a Hall of Fame pitcher who still had good years in him because then he went out and pitched for the Mets next year and was lights out up until the end of the season. But they traded for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner from the Nationals. Scherzer and Turner. And they were already the best team in the National League. The Atlanta Braves lost Ronald Acuna, were floundering at the trade deadline, were a bad weekend away from the Mets, losing to the Mets, away from selling instead of buying. They beat the Mets because that's what they do. They end up buying at the deadline, and they get Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Jorge Soler, Jacques Peterson. What happened? The Braves go on to win the World Series, beating the Dodgers on the way there, and Jorge Soler becomes the World Series MVP, hitting home runs all over the place against the Astros. And Jacques Peterson was terrible for them down the stretch, was a bench player entering the postseason, and hit two or three pinch-hit home runs, and then started playing and was having a great postseason. You figure it out. Who had the better trade deadline? 888-808-1019. All right, real quick, I want to play this Derek Jeter sound. So this is Derek Jeter. I believe it's after the game. It's after the All-Star game. And they do their normal segment where they, last year they did it, this year they'll do it. They did it. Pick the World Series. Last year, David Ortiz picked the Boston Red Sox. And Derek Jeter picked the Baltimore Orioles. But in the clip, see if you can listen to it. And this speaks to what I want to talk about a little bit this show and probably more tomorrow and Friday even. Listen to this clip. Listen to Derek Jeter, who he picks, and why he picks them. And see if he's setting something up, an important moment for the New York Yankees. Here's Derek Jeter.
First of all, let me preface this with this is unfair. It really is unfair. Last year, I picked the Baltimore Orioles to go to the World Series. And hold on. You picked Boston to go to the World Series.
Well, you know.
But the reason why I picked them is I was looking forward to the trade deadline, and Baltimore had a stacked minor league system. I thought they were going to make a move. They didn't do it. They didn't win. So this year, I am going with the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman. Gosh. Yankees are going to beat the Cubs in the World Series.
Whoa.
Going with the Yankees because Cashman basically said he's all in. So I expect the Yankees to do something at the trade deadline.
Ooh. He's picking the Yankees to win the World Series. Last year picked the Baltimore Orioles. This year he's picking the New York Yankees. And why? Because Brian Cashman said that he was all in and he expects big moves from the Yankees at the deadline. Now, we know there's no love loss between Brian Cashman and Derek Jeter, specifically from Derek Jeter to Brian Cashman. I think it's cooled a little bit over the years. I think once Derek Jeter got involved in the operations of baseball with Miami, I think he recognized where Brian Cashman was coming from a little bit, and it kind of thawed the icy relationship that the two of them had. But a couple years ago, before they did it, Derek Jeter said, I think the Yankees should go out and trade for Juan Soto. And now he's putting the emphasis that this team's good enough as long as Brian Cashman goes out and has a good trade deadline. And again, we know Derek Jeter doesn't love Brian Cashman. Like, that, to me, that's a little subtle, hey, Cash, you better go out there and have a big deadline because this team has World Series expectations. Not only is it the typical World Series or bust, but this team's good enough. As long as you go out there and right the ship and add at the deadline. Like, it just felt like very, very directed right at Brian Cashman and how important this trade deadline is. And then that's really what I want to talk about, you know, kind of moving forward. We'll get into it more. A little bit tomorrow, maybe, and Thursday. I've talked a lot about the GMs over these last couple days because this trade deadline, clearly here at the All-Star break and the second half, that's what it's building towards. Because there's enough holes from both these teams, certainly the Yankees, where you know they have to add. How much? We'll see. I don't know. Are they capable of winning with just adding a little? Are they capable of winning with just slightly upgrading as opposed to monster moves? But to the last caller's point, whether I want to tell you it's a difficult task to know who's going to perform in the postseason, and when I say difficult, I mean damn near impossible. But to that point, it hasn't worked. The deadlines haven't really worked and brought in impact players for their postseason runs, for the most part. There's been a couple, right? We mentioned Bader, who was very good. There were some other moves and guys who performed well in the postseason. But the trade deadline in specific, 2017 was a good one. 2017, he traded for Dave Roberts, who is back in the news as Dave Robertson is a free agent reliever, and apparently the Yankees and the Mets and some other teams are now looking at him. He's obviously, I think he's damn near 40, but last year did pitch to a 3 ERA and had about 90 strikeouts in 70-something innings, so he was still an effective reliever last year. He is 40 years old. So he's 40 years old. He was an effective reliever last year. Not an all-star reliever, but an effective reliever. Nobody picked him up this entire year. He's still a free agent. He's working out for teams. But in 17, they trade Robertson. They trade for Frazier at third base. And Robertson and Canely, the first run with Canely, at the deadline, and that really propelled them. That was a big-time deal that really helped that 2017 team. That's really the last time Brian Cashman had a major impact deadline, right? Rizzo was good, but it didn't really help in 21. They lose in the wild card. He had good moments. It ended up terrible after he hit his head on the hip of Tatis Jr. From that moment on, it was a disaster. But before that, you know, Rizzo had some good moments with the Yankees. But Gallo was terrible. Jazz, I think, is a great trade, but it didn't help them in the postseason last year, to the Cole's point. That is fair. He wasn't good in the postseason. But it's been since 17 since you've really felt like there was a major impact. Again, same thing in 19, Edwin Encarnacion, who I suspected would have had a great postseason for the Yankees, did not perform in the postseason. So Derek Jeter is picking the Yankees as long as Brian Cashman has a very good and potent trade deadline to help fix some of the ills of this team. And the question is, Brian Cashman, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but there have been discussions about Brian Cashman making a transition inside the organization and no longer being the day-to-day GM, taking on a different role. Like, I wonder, is there some sort of real impetus from the owner on the idea? Now, again, the owner's got to be willing to take on money too, but how important is this deadline to Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, the New York Yankees, and how important is this season? Because, listen, I would be, if they don't make the playoffs, I'm as big a Boone supporter as there is on planet Earth. If they don't make the playoffs, you got to fire Aaron Boone. You have to. You have to. And you might even start that transition of Brian Cashman if this falls on its face. The pivot off of Juan Soto and now leading into this deadline is really critical. And you could, like, the rest of the season, you're talking about Anthony Volpe's decision is up for grabs. The Bellinger decision is up for grabs. The manager, the GM. Like, I know it seems like the GM has the carte blanche, free contract for life. There's already been discussions about him making a transition inside the organization. If this season falls on its face and he's unable to do anything at the deadline, this could be an interesting offseason. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your calls for the next 2 hours. We got you all the way until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll get to the Jets, obviously. Haven't done much on the Sauce Gardner contract extension off of the Garrett Wilson contract extension earlier the day before. So we'll get into the Jets. We'll still take your baseball calls. The Mets trade deadline is no less important for David Stearns, although he's not going anywhere. But obviously a lot of Met baseball here to talk as well. McMonagle here with you for another 2 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. Be right back.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.